It is always so fun, how the Holy Spirit will help you, with something you have on your heart, like, okay, is this what you're to share? And so, I thought I was going to teach some more on praise, and I believe we might mention it at the very end, but there was a pondering about things about about go crossing over to the other side, the story, and we'll get into it in more detail about when Jesus had said, "Let's go to the other side," and then a storm arose, and all the different things of that story. Well, anyway, Dennis had said, "Oh, here's a word of faith," and I thought, "Well, I don't have time to look at it because I've got to get my teaching ready." And then I felt this little nudge. We're all talking about that, aren't we? Those little nudges, like just glance at it. Well, I open up the paper, and the big story that I open up to is who's in your boat. Oh, okay, Holy Ghost. We see we're on track here. And then the other article was with Lynette on praise. And so it's like, okay, Lord, you are so good. How you will take something and just shine the light on it and say, okay, Lord, thank you. This is what we are going to get for today. And so the thing that I think we can all remember times when all of a sudden a new revelation or the Bible started to come alive, and it was so exciting when it started to be like, oh, this is really the truth, and that revelation. And I can remember, I think we were in Bible school when I first found out that Jesus didn't just always know who he was. I mean, didn't most of us think that he just was this God and he just knew? And then you realize that he found out who he was in the book and how he read the book, and then that's how he knew who he was. And so I was just amazed, because then I'm thinking, oh my, Jesus had to study. He had to have revelation. He had the Holy Spirit illuminate who he was. And I thought that was so amazing. But the Holy Spirit, he can always keep just putting that light and that life, because his word, is eternal, and his word is forever. And so just recently, as Dennis and I have just been going through going through the chapters for the Easter story, and just reading what Jesus would be saying about himself, and just reading things about him, and it was like all of a sudden this whole next level in the spirit was there of how much he absolutely believed every word. Whatever the prophet said was absolutely truth to him. And I can't even put this in words, other than I just saw that whatever level I believe the word, and whatever level that I saw Jesus believe the word, it was so intertwined in his whole being that if the prophet said this, it was done. It was finished in his heart. And he would always say who he was. He would be telling the disciples, and you remember times, he would quote things. And he would say, like in John, as one of the books especially, he'll say, "I'm the bread of life." And then he would feed the multitude. He would say, "I'm the light of the world." And then he would heal the blind. But he was always speaking of who he was. He was always speaking of his purpose. And so, and then even after his resurrection on the road on Emmaus, he's trying to bring the scriptures, alive to them. It says he was going through Moses. He was going through the prophets. He was going through the Psalms. He rehearsed every scripture with them of who he was. So Jesus so knew who he was, and he spoke this word of God. And so as we were just reading the Easter story, we started seeing too how much he would speak ahead. He would say, because he would know from the word of God that he must ride a donkey into Jerusalem. So he would tell the disciples, "Now you go to this village, and then you're going to come and see this colt that's tied." And then he said, "Now if they ask you, why are you doing this?" He says, well, you just tell them that the master has need of it, and so much like he'll bring it back. So here's the disciples. Jesus has spoken this out, what's going to be. And they go to that village, and it's just like he says. He goes and he tells them, I need to have the Passover supper here. You go to this person, you say the Lord needs this, here's the room, this is where it'll be. He's speaking these things of what's going to happen. And so he would say the end from the beginning. He would say, I'm going to be beaten. He goes, I'm going to suffer. He says, I'm going to die. But he says, I'm going to be raised again. He says, on the third day, he told him, now when I am raised again, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. He is speaking at the end. He was saying, you know, this is going to happen, but I'm going to my Father. He was speaking the beginning and the end. So let's turn to Isaiah 46:9. Because we know that Jesus was doing this. We know that this was from the Father. And this principle of speaking the beginning, the end from the beginning. So Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 in the Amplified says, earnestly remember the former things, which I did of old. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end and the result from the beginning. Declaring the end and the result from the beginning. And from ancient of times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure and purpose. I want to preface that because in Hebrews 12, Jesus then said, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. And let's turn to Revelations 1:8. So we know that Jesus in the past has said these different truths about himself, of who he is. And in Revelations 1:8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty ruler of all. And if you go through Jesus, there's another place, and then there's a place in the end of Revelation. And I'm not going to have us go to all of these because I'm losing time. But he four times said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. None of the other statements he made about himself did he say more than once. So if Jesus says, I'm the beginning and I'm the end, there's a definite purpose with that. And so, because Jesus was wanting us to make sure that we recognized that we could have an end that's supposed to be what is to happen, but things can happen in our lives, and if we're not careful, we can accept a pseudo-end. We can start compromising. We can get defeated. And we can accept an end that's not the end that he has for us. And so let's go to Mark 4 so we can read this in the Bible, the story about Jesus telling them, let's cross to the other side. It's Mark 4, 35 through 41. I'm sure we've all heard this story many times. It's in three other different Gospels. So I'm going to read the New King James. Of course, we know he has just fed the multitude. He's done all these miracles. And so on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Okay, what did the Lord say to them? To the other side. Is that his word? That's his word. Let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to it, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I believe that you know, that Craig brought out in this story that when he said, let's go the other side, he was expecting to go the other side, and the disciples were also expecting to go the other side. The only thing difference was the disciples were expecting to go to the other side without any obstacle. And these are fishermen. These are people that have been in all kinds of weather. These are strong people. These are people with great ability in a storm or with a boat. And the thing that I can see is Jesus, again, there was an acting out of the beginning and the end. He was acting out of what they would have to do to get to the end. It was no coincidence when he said, we're going to the other side. Because it wasn't just crossing this lake and getting to the other side. He was showing them what it was going to be for every single thing in their life. That you can have something, and you can have smooth sailing, you could have another time, that the word of the Lord is, we're going to the other side. And then that word was in them, but then the storm proportions, and that's where I think we got to not just say, those disciples. It says it was of hurricane proportion. And so, you know, they were used to being on the water. So for them to be, it had to be that they said they were, when they said they were drowning, they weren't being just, you know, tourists that was on a cruise boat panicking. And the thing that I can recognize is, you know, they're in the boat, Jesus is asleep, and the water is supposed to be on the outside of the boat. Have we ever been in a situation where there's a lot going on, but we're okay? We're just okay. But pretty soon, the water is no longer outside the boat. The water is getting inside. And you can tell when a situation, an obstacle that's trying to keep you from getting to your end, you can tell when it's starting to get in you. There's starting to be worry. There's starting to be discouragement. That water is supposed to be on the outside of the boat. And now that water is starting to fill the boat. More and more of it's getting inside. And can we not relate when we've been in something and it was out here, but all of a sudden we can tell more and more of it, it's almost become us. You know, you might wake up in the morning and that's your first thought. Well, there's a lot of water in our boat when that's your first thought in the morning. And so, you know, you're thinking about these men, and Jesus is in the boat with them. But, you know, he seems like Jesus is you know, he's not engaged with us. Because everything else, he's just fed them. And he's always been so amazing. He's been in control. And he's been the one that said, we'll do this and we're going to do that. And all of a sudden, they're in this chaos. And he's not seeming to be right there to take care of them. He's training them of what they're going to have to do. And I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that's a whole part of him being asleep. But there is a training of all of a sudden of what they're going to have to do. And I can see that all of a sudden their focus has all become on the waves. And hey, all of a sudden if you're wet and the boat's filling up, can you imagine them like taking a cup, you know, and trying to bail it out? You know, have we ever done that? Let's say worry is starting to get in your life, or maybe disappointment about something, and you're trying to take a cup, you know, and cupful by cupful, you know, get this out of your boat. Well, you know, if the waves are crashing over and this huge amount of water is coming into the boat, do you think your cup full, your effort to get this problem out of your life is going to keep you from sinking? No, the only thing is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's His word, but it's Him. Jesus was in the boat. And the thing that Jesus has always said, He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And we it's our consciousness. And that's why I can see there's this emphasis right now, even with praise. Because things are happening in people's lives. And all of a sudden, you know, like unexpected things. And so you don't want to glorify that. But the next part is, you know, sometimes you don't even realize you're starting to accept another end. I mean, they were starting to say, well, our end is now in the bottom of the lake. And we could say, oh, my goodness. I mean, look how much water's in their boat. And so Jesus, you know, we know that when they woke him up, and they said, Lord, Lord, why don't you care? You know, and one of them even says he rebuked them. Of course, you know when he's doing that, it's because he knows this is for their life for later. But, you want to say, well, Jesus, we're drowning. I mean, it's pretty good reason, you know, to be fearful. We're drowning. But one thing that had said in this pamphlet that I thought fits so much with this, it says, our storm can only affect our future if we let it mess up our present. When the storm is raging so much that we're you know, because they could have gone to Jesus probably a lot earlier. And there's a place, or even, you know, that place, it was a learning for them of that authority. And so I've just thought about the consciousness that we've talked about earlier, you know, because whatever we're the most conscious of is feeding us. It is. They may all be so subtle that we're not even thinking of it. But whatever we're the most conscious of, we're responding to. And I believe that's one of the reasons the Lord is helping us to end the part, because we know it's the Word of God, but the part with praise. Because as we start to lift our voice and start to magnify Him and start and not, and then letting it be that, because we are connected to Him. Those disciples knew Jesus was right there. They had someone they could rely on. They had someone they could go to, and we have the same thing. And so it's that consciousness of Him. But if we're not conscious of Him, then we're not going to really connect with Him. And yet, vice versa, if we're not really connected with Him, then how do we become conscious of Him? You know, if the Lord is just a form, like, you know, it used to be in where I was at in the church, and people loved God, but it was so distant. There was, you know, it was like there wasn't this intimacy that was taught that you could have with the Lord. Well, you know, I can see this with praise, that we can start to lift up our voice, but if there is no heart connection with Him, then that may make us feel better because we're releasing something, but it's a whole thing when you're releasing it to someone. And that's where sometimes when we're even in the storm, it is so important that we train ourselves that we're speaking to someone. If we're saying thank you, we're saying thank you to someone. When we're praising Him, we're speaking to someone. So it's the consciousness of Him. Ooh, could you sense His presence just come in now? Sometimes His presence, when it comes in, it's not a lightning bolt. It's just a Him. Hallelujah. So it's, and it's easier to do that when you're at church and you're in a setting like this. Sometimes it's when you're in all the chaos of the storm. But it's that knowing. And that's what he has for us in this hour. Hallelujah. Because it's him. He's the Alpha. And he's the Omega. He's the beginning. And he's the end. He ended victorious. Everything that has an ending with him has a victory with it. Does that mean everything's an easy sail? Does that mean that other people's choices are not involved with what they have? But each of us can fulfill our course of what God has for us to do. We can get to the other side. I think what it, I mean, I know for myself what it is. I don't want there to be a storm. And it seems like, you know, there's been quite a few storms and I really don't want another one. But then I have to judge, why do I feel that way? So then it's coming to him. Hallelujah. Jesus, when we look at Jesus' life, we're talking about how he so knew who he was and how he knew the word. And if the prophet said it, that's the way it was. But if you look at his life, he was always conscious of the Father. He was always connected to the Father. He says early before the day, you know, he would leave and go pray. How many times does it talk about how he would go and pray? Just because he knew the truth. He drew that strength. He drew every direction. You know, I heard someone say something once that Jesus didn't meet every need. And he wasn't moved by need. And I thought, you know, heresy at first when I first reading this. But it said he was not moved by need. He was moved by supply. There was a need here, but think of all the needs. You know, and when he even went to the pool, Bethesda, he went to one man. Why did he do that? Because the Father had shown him. The Father had shown him. And the Father had shown. And with that showing was a supply. And when he went someplace, he went there because he had supply. He was always saying, wasn't he? I only do what my Father's showing me. I do my Father's will. And we know that with the Easter story, you know, Dennis has been, we've been rehearsing some of that. You know, and when you start going through what happened to him, sometimes, you know, I remember when going to the Passion Play, and I just couldn't even look at some of it. You know, and I just don't even want to think about some of it. And yet you know it's true. And you think about, here's Jesus. He had declared all of this. That he said, you know, I'm going to be raised. You know, I'm going to fulfill. All this is going to happen. But when he got to the garden, he had to have strength. He fell on his face. You know, and it was like at this point, even though he knew this was the truth, he knew this is why he had come, he had been declaring this end the whole time. Remember he said, Father, if it can pass, let it pass. But not my will, but yours. And he received strength. And, you know, both in the wilderness, when he was being tempted by the enemy, it says he defeated every time by what it is written. And after he had gone through the third temptation, it says an angel came and strengthened him. Well, the same thing's true in the Garden of Eden. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times he went and asked, you know, can this pass from me? But then when he said, okay, your will be done, an angel came and strengthened him. I don't understand quite all what that is, you know, but I know that's the word of God. So I know that as we are in this boat and we are to go to the other side, I can see so much of it is still us declaring. You know, sometimes you can be in the spirit and you can get something that the Lord gives you, and then you can forget about it. And quite a few years, I mean, several years ago, we were praying with someone, and this part about having a bright future came out. Well, we can all say we have a bright future, but when the Spirit gives you something, it's a bright future. But you know what? We had stopped saying it. And so when just looking at that, when we'll say that, Lord, I thank you, we have a bright future. Now, you know, of course, your flesh wants that to mean, you know, easy. But no, we have a bright future. And then one of the things that came out by the Spirit is our invitations would be in line and on time. That means we're going to be able to go to places where we can make a difference, you know, and we'll be right there on time. See, this, when you start declaring things by the Spirit about, you know, because we can't just leave it to chance about how our lives are going to be or how this year is going to be. You know, we can say, you know, we will fulfill all that God has for us to do this year. You know, we will have victory this year because Jesus is our victorious one. You know, there are things that we can start. We will be in the right place at the right time. We will have the Spirit of truth leading and guiding us into all truth. We will have greater impact into this area this year than ever before. We will have greater understanding of truth. We will have an effect in the harvest. And so it's that speaking the end. It is. Hallelujah. So I think that... that Jesus, when he said, let's go to the other side, I think that in what we have right now, oh, I know I need to go through something else, and I almost forgot. He would know, the Holy Spirit knows, some of the most important things for us to keep alive in our lives right now. I believe one of them is praise. Because as we have our voice declaring his greatness and our voice speaking, even to confessing of his name, and we have our voice activated. We have, in our own times, we put on some, what I would have considered wild music earlier, you know, and, you know, playing of God's great dance floor and things. I would have almost thought, you know, Sean would love them. And so, you know, because I do all kinds of moves in my kitchen that only Dennis can see, you know. But I have found that as I have purposed to have my voice activated in saying God's word and speaking, the praise, it seems like as I open my voice and start to praise, it will start to activate the other things in my life, the scriptures and the truth. And I believe, too, because he is coming and the King of Glory, there's such mockery and darkness that wants to try to be on the earth, that voice of praise coming forth from the earth. But there is a place that you can sense at times oppression and darkness. Well, the thing is, as you lift up the voice of praise, you can change the very atmosphere. You know, we can be in a toxic environment, but that toxic environment is not to get in us. And sometimes just even stopping for a minute wherever you are in a situation like that, going to the bathroom, you know, and just lifting up your voice and just speaking his name quietly, not making a scene with other people, you can change the very atmosphere right where you are. And so I can see that our focus in this time is really important. I want to close with this scripture in 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. I won't have us turn there I'll just mention it and then we'll finish with this. In the same magazine, I mentioned that Lynette had the praise and the garment of praise. And that really touched my heart because last time when I taught, I was really thinking about going that direction, and I didn't. And one time when I was studying this out about the garment of praise years ago, I got into some of the research of it. And, you know, I think some of these things, I don't know if you can absolutely prove, you know, but we do know that when there were singers that were appointed, they had clothing that was, they knew they were the praisers. And it said that on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in Isaiah 61, when I did some research, it said there'd actually be a clothing that they would wear. You know, and I think when you are going to put on a garment of praise, you have to take up and off another garment. And I think we've heard teaching about that blind Bartimaeus, how before he went to Jesus, he took off that cloak that identified him as a beggar. And so in the spirit realm, there is a clothing. Of course, we know it's anointing. But we could really visualize that you have what you're just going through life and you're just acting as a mere person, and you put on a garment of praise. You can actually, we can come in here and we can either be where we come in and we have the worship people, you know, do the praising, and it would, and yeah, wait, I could get on a different, go too far. Because that's a whole other teaching there. But there's a place that we call even the sacrifice of praise. And that means that no matter how we feel, then we don't just have the people that are exhorting us be the one that's having the voice. It's like the whole church comes in and we have a voice. Whew. We have a voice of praise that goes up. And so I just would challenge us, you know, like, Lord, thank you that you're helping us to recognize that there's a whole garment of praise. And if we come in and we're not having that garment on, we're putting it on this morning. Hallelujah. So let me close with this. Hallelujah. And then maybe, Dennis, it'd be good if you come right up here. Oh, you know, sweetheart, I thought I had that one printed out.
What?
First Peter, sorry.
First Peter 1.
I know. I thought it was printed. It's 1, 8, and 9. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exalt and thrill with an inexpressible and triumphant joy. At the same time, you receive the result or the end of your faith. So you see that that you believe in Jesus, that he is your joy, and from that joy you receive the end. Many times, the way that you get the result, the end, is through your joy. And we talked earlier about there's joy stealers, but then you recognize Jesus is your joy. And that's another starter with a praise. Because sometimes the way that you get the end is the joy. And it's from him. Hallelujah. 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 That joy. We believe in him even though we don't see him. See, that means we're conscious of him. We're connected to him. Hallelujah. And his joy is our strength. Hallelujah. His joy is our strength. Hallelujah. 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 His joy is our strength.